Well, I'm back. I wasn't sure if you'd be kind or not, so yeah. I appreciate all the notes and cards and texts and what have you, and really appreciate my staff and Doug covering for me. I heard he did a great job. Online's a little different than being here live, but I did listen along with you. So. You know, a while back I was reading the Bible, and I'll take and focus on a section of Scripture, and I focused on the Golden Rule, and I was reading it, all different versions, and just seeing how it sounded and how it hit me, and I read it in the Message translation, and it kind of struck a chord, and it said, here's a simple rule of thumb, guide for behavior, ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. And I thought, well, what if every Christ follower lived by the Golden Rule? I mean, what if we were to treat everyone how we want to be treated? You know, what if we were to live it out with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our souls? The fact is, it would change the world. And we're starting this series, I'm calling it The Mix. We're going to talk about, as followers of Jesus Christ, how important it is that we get the mix right. Because when the mix is not right, it creates a lot of problems and chaos. Not only does it hurt other people, but friends, it will hurt you. You know, it will keep you from rising above the storms in life and being who God called you to be. And I believe the Spirit is calling us, God's Holy Spirit is calling us to live our lives above the fray and to live in a much better way. You know, to live life in a God-honoring way. You see, the Spirit is calling. I mean, can you feel it? You know, today's message I'm calling Trail Mix. Because as you're traveling through life, how you navigate the trail of life is vital. It's important. And if we're going to get it right, we've got to get the mix right. You know, the fact is, what makes it difficult, I think, is we encounter all kinds of things on this trail of life, right? I mean, how many of you like trail mix? Yeah, I do. I like trail mix. I like certain blends of it. But trail mix, it's kind of a mix of sweet, salty, and crunchy. You know, it's got raisins in it maybe, or dehydrated cranberries, various nuts, you know, M&Ms, Reese's Pieces, and everybody's got their favorite. And that variation, that combination, is what makes it interesting and popular, I think. And I was thinking about the trail of life. The reason it's hard to navigate is because you encounter a different mix of people all the time. And you got this variation, this combination. And I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, things like love and joy and peace and patience, you know, kindness, self-control. And I think one of the issues is there are a lot of people are fruitless. You know, the fact is, too many Christ followers lack the fruit of the Spirit. You know, they have things like love and patience and kindness, and so it's limited or sometimes non-existent. And the bottom line is, for many, that fruit's just dried up. And as sure as you're traveling that trail of life, you encounter a mix of people too. You know, do you ever know some people are sweet? They're kind. They're gracious. And they're really easy to love and to have patience with and to extend grace to. And the problem comes that not everybody's sweet. There are more people that are not so sweet. Okay, they're extremely salty. Some of them are nuts, right? I'm just saying, it's trail mix. And what I want to do is invite you to get the mix right on your end. I want to encourage you to go back to school and learn the golden rule. And I want to suggest that you got to commit yourself, lay it on the line, and hear it just one more time. The golden rule, friends, is challenging. Because the golden rule is not reactionary according to what the situation is. The golden rule, it predetermines how you and I interact with other people. It predetermines how we live, because we're always to ask ourselves, how would I like to be treated here? Each and every situation, every stranger, every colleague, every friend, every family member, every person at church, everybody. What if every Christ follower got the mix right? You know, what if every person here started living the golden rule, period, fully and completely? I'll tell you what would happen. Every seat in this place would be packed. Every soul, they'd be changed. It would impact our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplace. It would transform our city, our communities. I think it would change the United States. The golden rule, friends, is that powerful. You know, when Jesus pointed to the golden rule, he was asking us to think about the mix. You know, so how do we do that? You know, if we're going to live out the golden rule in our life, it requires us to treat people with respect, to hold other people in high regard, no matter who they are. It requires us to value and treat people, all people, with dignity. You know, Peter writes this. He says, show respect for what?
Everyone.
Everyone. Everyone. Not some people. Everyone. Everyone. Love Christians everywhere. Fear God and honor the government. This isn't a suggestion, by the way. It's a biblical imperative. It's not optional. We're to respect everyone. I mean, let that sink in a little bit. Everyone. Here's the problem. We are not naturally respectful people. We're not, you know. Valuing others kind of goes against the grain from the moment we take our first breath. I mean, think about it. Early age, you have this respect thing, and it's not really in our equation. You know, whether it's your sibling, maybe an unexpected child in the nursery, we take what we want when we're young. You know, we grab the toy. We grab the candy. And as long as we can get away with it, we do it. You know, it's me first, right? It's natural. You got to push against it. You know, as an adolescent, you know, few of us showed the due respect that our parents and teachers deserved. You know, while they're trying to instruct us, you know, guide us toward what would be good for us, there was eye rolling. That's not a new thing. There was acting like you're listening and going, wah, 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 wah. And here's my point. To be a respectful person, you learn it over time. It requires commitment. And it's a process. It is a lifetime process. And friends, if we're going to get it right, we got to remember that all people matter to God. All people, all people, all people. How many times I got to say it? All people. Absolutely everyone that crosses your path, everyone you encounter on this trail of life is created in the image of God. And if you've been around Faith Fellowship long, you'll hear me say often, you will never look into the eyes of another person that does not matter to God. All people matter to God. It's a value issue for living. Every person you meet is someone that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. The worst person you know is one prayer. One prayer from becoming a sister or brother in the faith. If you can keep that value embedded in your mind, in your heart, it will help you respect other people and treat other people with that respect. It'll remind you that God created them, breathed life into them, that God loves them. I mean, God stamped his image on them. Because they matter to God, they should matter to us as followers of Jesus Christ. And when you think about that person at work, you know, at school, maybe in your neighborhood, the clerk at the store, person you pass in the aisle, you see at the gym, church, on the street, that person who challenges your sensibility on social media, remember, they matter to God. Friends, it is impossible to, we can't get this one wrong. You know, the fact is, it is okay to disagree with someone. It is, but you don't have to destroy them. And I believe it's a lost art in our culture today and in our churches as well. Culture pretends. They pretend they're accepting. They act all politically correct. You know, we use that word too often, maybe. But when the person disagrees with them, well, then things get nasty. And then it's okay to spew venom. You know, let the labels fly. You know, you're closed-minded. You're right wing, left wing. You don't have any wings. Whatever. And I'm being kind. There's a lot of things I can't even say up here. Well, I could, but, you know. But then things get personal. Toxic. And I want you to listen very, very carefully to what I'm saying. It's okay to disagree with someone. Respectful people can have a spirited debate about something, but they do not have to draw blood in the process. You can disagree about something and still hold someone in high regard, but it is a learned skill. But it's critical to getting the mix right. I believe we're losing our capability or capacity for that in our country. I mean, this disrespect, devaluing, just spewing. Friends, it is having a long-term effect, much darker than we realize, on our souls and on this country. You know, Jesus said, "But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister," you know, anybody who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to the judgment. "Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca," which most people don't even get that. It's when you start calling people names, you empty-headed moron. Yeah. You don't even deserve to breathe the air on this planet. You're so bad. "Anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca," you can fill in the blank there, "is answerable to the courts. And anyone who says, you fool," here we go, "will be in danger of the fire of hell." I would say Jesus is pretty serious on this one. I mean, the world might do it, but Christ followers, we rise above that. We are called by God to a much, much higher standard. Years ago, I was in a meeting with Jim Edgar, governor of Illinois, and the group that was there was debating this issue, and it started out okay, but not very long into the debate, well, the decibels started increasing, civility decreased, and things just got nasty. I mean, it took this personal turn, and it went from debating the topic to pot-shotting each other and personally attacking the governor. I mean, it was ugly. And as I had witnessed on several occasions through the years, the governor always remained poised, very calm. And he would begin each statement when things got heated, and he would just go, "With all due respect," and then he'd kind of argue his point, very calm, very respective. Later I found out, when I was talking to him, I said, "You use that phrase a lot." And he goes, "Well, it's when I say with all due respect, it's really a 2-second prayer. And it's to remind me that what I say next has to be respectful. Even if everybody else is slinging mud, I'm not going to do that." And I thought, you know, we might try that. You might try that little phrase. Next time things get heated, next time you're wanting to unload, to just go in all due respect. Friends, we must train ourselves so that we grow into people who respect everyone, always, always. Not sometimes, always. I mean, we can disagree with others. That's fine. And yet, we can stop short of demoralizing them or alienating them. I mean, you can disagree and still show value to someone and respect them. Friends, I know you can do this. And I also know if we're going to be people who respect others, that we've got to see the best in people. You've got to look and try and find that thing. You know, the Apostle Paul, he writes this, he says, "Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fails." Love believes the best. Love sees the best in other people. It requires us to remove the walls, those barriers that we put up, and start trying to see the good. You know, even someone that you just go, "Oh, they're horrible," there are good things that you can find. I think I've shared this before, but when I was in seminary, I was working on my master's, and the Persian Gulf War broke out. And it had just started, and friends, things got really heated, and anybody that was from that country being horribly mistreated. And I got to know a guy, Shamir. He sat next to me in class. He was from Iraq. He had started a church there. He was a brother in the Lord, and he had dreams and desires just like you and I have, and he wanted the best for his family. He loved the Lord, and he wanted peace, and I was with him on all those things. And one day, the president of the college came into our classroom and got him, and he pulled him out in the hall, and he informed him that a bomb had hit their church and killed all of his family. His wife, his daughter, his mom, his dad, his brother. And friends, it was gut-wrenching. And it's one of those moments that it just marks you. And I made a decision in that moment that I would never be suckered in to believing the worst about a group of people. That I would never disrespect an entire country based on some bad actors, you know, that I would need to personally interact with someone and make a decision one-on-one. Lifelong lesson. Friends, I challenge you to look for the best in people, no matter what their nationality is, their race, their social status, their sexual orientation, their political affiliation. I mean, we could just keep going here. Each and every person is created by God the Most High. They're created fearfully and wonderfully. You got to believe the best in people. You know, interact with openness and humility instead of defensive. You know, suspicious. And friends, if we're going to get this mix right, you got to have patience. I mean, how do you do that? You know, well, a couple things. You got to learn when you're talking with people, don't interrupt them all the time. You know, don't dominate the conversation. Why? Because respectful people actually want to hear what other people have to say. You know, their thoughts, their feelings. It's how you get to know other people. You know, you don't interrupt all the time. Hit the pause button. This will be hard for some of you. But you got to hit the pause button once in a while. Why? So you can listen. Because you actually are interested. You know, by doing that, what you say to the other person signals you matter. You matter to me. Respectful people listen more than they talk. Again, I'm going to challenge you. But you got to do it. I'm just saying, you got to work at it. Respectful people also guard their volume. You know, refuse to use incendiary words to make a point. You know, Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. That is a verse worth memorizing there. I have watched for the last few years. Our culture has just devolved. And it saddens me, the frequent use of divisive, hateful, I mean, downright just offensive stuff, phrases, posts. And it comes from all sides, all right? You can just pick your poison, pick the issue, whatever. People who are serious about respecting others and honoring God actually sit down and make a decision to eliminate certain words, certain phrases, completely from their vocabulary. Why? Because we realize that those words are disrespectful. They hurt people's souls. And at some point, you have to decide what kind of person you want to be. I mean, do you want to be a uniter or a divider? You know, do you want to be a lover or a hater? Do you want to build people up or destroy people? Whether you are right or wrong on an issue, hatefulness has to go. It has to go. It grieves God's heart. You know, Paul writes this. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's conversations. It's public debates, it's posts, it's tweets, it's texts. But only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Can you imagine if everybody lived with that verse at the forefront? If everybody lived that way, do you think this world would be a better place? I guarantee you it would. We rise above the fray as followers of Christ. I'm just saying, be honoring in your words, whether it's spoken or written. And I've shared this before. I think part of the problem with especially social media, you don't have to look in anybody's eyes when you say whatever it is. You know, that person you're disrespecting, you don't have to see the pain or the hurt that you're inflicting. And can I make a stronger suggestion? I mean, about social media, which isn't all that social these days, by the way. And I know what I'm about to say is going to unhinge some of you, but with all due respect. See what I did there? Never ever engage on social media. You may think you have to respond. You may think you're making a point. You are not. You are not. Here's a crazy thing that drives me crazy anyway. Many times we're fighting with people we don't even know or we don't really have a relationship with, you know. Well, I knew them back in high school. You talk to them lately? No, not 50 years, but man, they make me mad when I, you know, what? Really? Come on. This is just simple golden rule advice. Just don't engage. And friends, if what you have to say isn't positive and uplifting, then you don't say it. You don't do it. You don't post it. And FYI, this is an unbelievable thing, but you can remove some of the obstacles in your life online and the temptations. Get this, unsubscribe, unfriend, take control, practice control. And friends, if that doesn't do it for you, you might consider just completely unplugging. And can I encourage you to bring all of your discourse, you know, spoken, written, social media, whatever you text, you type, whatever, under the guidance and supervision of God and the Holy Spirit? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, off your fingers, from your posts. God did not call you to put people in their place. Really? No, he didn't. He didn't. That is not a call from God. We are only to use words that build people up. You know, and here's another thing. Just be courteous all the time to everyone, everywhere. Everywhere you go, be courteous. You know, the person, people that I respect the most are incredibly courteous and kind. And some of the people that I respect like that really have high positions. They got a lot of responsibilities, things going on, but they're thoughtful people. You know, they make people a priority. They pay attention to people that usually go unnoticed for most. You know, it's a server in the restaurant or the hotel or the clerk at the convenience store or the person that's behind the counter or the custodian. You know, you will become a more courteous and kind person when you begin to realize that every single person you see, you talk with, that's in your sphere, so to speak, was created by God. It'll lead you to do strange things, like open a door for someone. You know, say thank you. To help someone. To defer the next time you head for the line. And there's someone else heading for the line. I'm going to run you over, buddy. Get out of my way. No, it'll go, hey, go ahead. Go ahead. It'll lead you to notice people that need help. You know, maybe loading their car or getting something into the house, help them at the store, whatever. Just be courteous all the time. And here's another thing. Respectful people, they form opinions very, very slowly. You know, they remain open-minded. They gather information. It's something that I've always tried to teach leaders to not jump to a conclusion too quickly, to always understand there's another side to whatever the story is or whatever the issue is. You know, most things are not simple. In fact, I would argue a lot of things are just very, very complex. You know, from time to time, I'll have someone come catch me, and they're all worked up. I mean, just worked up to high heaven. And we'll start talking. And they'll start sharing with me what's going on and why this is so horrible and what have you. And then I'll begin challenging them at some point. I'll go, yeah, I'm not sure that's true. Are you sure you got all the details right on that one? This is a little more complex than you're presenting it. And what happens, the longer we talk, it becomes more evident to me that they've jumped to a conclusion based on a lot of misinformation, or sometimes no information at all. You form opinions slowly, carefully, prayerfully, and always God honored. Always God honored. And let me say something about information. Not all information's equal. There is a lot of false teachings and just misinformation. And I don't want to upset you. Just because you saw it online doesn't mean it's true. In fact, the vast majority is intentionally misinformation. When it comes to truth, not all equal. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, God's word's supreme for me. In fact, I believe our decisions should always line up with God's word. Always be God-honoring. Always be God-honoring. Friends, if we're going to get the mix right, we also got to take responsibility when we're wrong. And this is a relational issue. You know, for instance, you're wrong. Let's just pretend, okay? All right, I know it's going to be a stretch, but you're wrong about something. You make a mistake. Own it and apologize. You know, we are called by God to do that. You know, Jesus said, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that someone has something against you, get this, he says, get up immediately, leave your gift there, and make peace with that person. Then come offer your gift. You know, Jesus put such a high value on relationships that he said, hey, you're worshiping one morning, you remember there's this relational rift, something you did, something not right. He doesn't even say whose fault it is, but he says, you got to go make it right. You know, hey, let's work this out. You know, I'm sorry. You know, will you forgive me? We are called by God to do it. Respect requires that we put a priority on every relationship with the people that we have relationships with. And I know disrespect it's a big issue today in our culture, in our country, in our world. Yeah, well, let's not stop there. In the church, in this church, respect is important. It's vital. Because without respect, what happens is the church fractures. And our mission and our message, well, it's compromised at that point. The golden rule is that important. The golden rule can change everything. And so just a little simple thing today. What area, as I've been talking today, kind of hit you or you're like, ew, I can't believe you're talking about that, you know, made you a little uncomfortable? Because that's the area that you probably got to work on. And we all can work on stuff. All people matter to God, so they should matter enough to us to work really, really hard at this and get the mix right. You know, I was thinking, I'm going to close here, but I was thinking, I remember growing up with the idea, you earn respect. You heard that before? I've been thinking about that because there aren't many people that have ever earned my respect. But what if we treated people with respect until it goes off the chain? You know, what if that's where our default, our start? Now, maybe you're different than me, but there's so many times I'll go, well, I really respect people here. Yeah. And that include me. You know, if you get up close, there'd be things you go, I don't know about that. But what if we made that our default of how we engage everyone that comes into our path? I'm going to show you respect. And even when it gets a little, I'm still going to show you respect. I'm not telling you got to go home and be best friends with them. But you do have to show respect. Called by God to do that. So we're going to pick up next week. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer to God. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. And God, I pray that you would just move in our hearts and our minds, that we'd treat people with respect. And when they go crazy, when they say or do things, that we take a big breath and say, okay, Lord, let me treat them with respect. God, help us to be a light in our communities, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. Help us to represent you in a way that leaves people maybe confused, but at some point it becomes very appealing. God, help us to live out the golden rule and treat others the way we want to be treated, not the way we think they ought to be treated. God, we honor you with all we say and do. We honor you with our lives. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. There'll be prayer teams down front. Maybe you need prayer for something today. You can come down. If you're new around here, you don't have to tell them anything. You just say, hey, I need prayer, or I need prayer for work. If you want to tell them everything, then have at it. But Scripture says when we pray together, God's Spirit moves. God's strength is presented, and he can guide and open doors that maybe you can't open. And so I invite you to do that, and we're going to worship God now at this point.